fact of sorts. Clive Cussler. Prologue. Each ocean takes its toll of men and ships, yet none devours them more than the Pacific. The voracious appetite of this great expanse of water is renowned, swallowing ships and crew in the most unique and unexpected ways. Here the mutiny on the Bounty took place, with the mutineers burning the ship at Pitcairn Island, the Essex, the only known ship to be sunk by a whale, the basis of Melville's Moby Dick, lies under the Pacific's waves. And the High Maru, which was blown to pieces when an underwater volcano erupted beneath her hull. Despite all this, the world's largest ocean is mostly a tranquil and methodical place. Even its name, Pacific, means peaceful and mild of temper. Yet it is for this reason that one should never turn a back on it. The quiet ones, the sly ones, are those which suddenly turn and kill with deadly unpredictability. The grim thought of disaster couldn't have been further from Commander Felix Dupree's mind as he climbed onto the bridge of the nuclear submarine Starbuck just before nightfall. He nodded to the officer on watch and leaned over the rail, smelling the early evening air, enjoying the salty breeze, and gazed with professional satisfaction at the ease with which the bulbous bow of his ship pushed aside the constant marching swells. Most men respected the sea, were awed by it. But Dupree was not most men. He felt towards the sea as an atheist might feel towards religion. Accept the wrath of the storm and the serenity of the calm, but never let the mind be overcome by the spell. 20 years at sea, 14 of them spent in submarines, and he was hungry. Hungry for recognition. Dupree was captain of the world's newest and most revolutionary submarine, but it wasn't enough. He yearned for more. The Starbuck was straight off the production line of San Francisco's construction yard. She was built from the keel up as no other sub had been built before. Every component, every system in her pressure hull was computer designed. The first of a new generation of underwater ships. The beginning of a submerged city capable of cruising at 125 knots through the timeless depths, 2,000 feet beneath the sunlit surface. Starbuck was like a thoroughbred jumper at her first horse show, chafing at the bit and ready to show her paces. But there were to be no spectators. The Department of Underwater Warfare ordered the trials to be conducted in the strictest secrecy in a remote area of the Pacific, and without an escort vessel. Dupree was chosen to command Starbuck on her maiden trial because of his reputation for thoroughness and adhesion to detail. Old Databank, his classmates at Annapolis had called him. Program him with facts and then stand back and watch his mouth spit out the logical answers. Dupree's talents were well known among submariners, but skill was secondary as far as advancement in the Navy was concerned. Personality, influence, and a flair for public relations were the necessary ingredients for making an admiral, and Dupree possessed none of these traits. He had recently been passed over for promotion. A buzzer sounded, and the officer on watch, a tall raven-haired lieutenant, picked up the bridge phone. Unseen by the voice on the other end, he nodded twice and hung up. "Control room," he said briefly. "Echo Sounder reports the seafloor has risen 1,500 feet in the last 5 miles. Dupree turned slowly, thoughtfully. "Probably a small range of submarine mountains. We still have a mile of water beneath our keel." He grinned and added, "No worry about running aground." The lieutenant grinned back. "Nothing like a few feet for insurance." The lines around Dupree's eyes wrinkled with a smile as he slowly turned back to the sea. He lifted a pair of binoculars that hung loosely around his neck and peered intently at the horizon. It was a routine gesture, one born from many thousands of hours searching the oceans of the world for another ship to share the total isolation. It was also a useless gesture. The sophisticated radar systems on board the Starbuck could detect an object long before the naked eye of a lookout. Dupree knew that, but there was something about studying the